Okay, thank you, Gary, this morning. It's always good to see you. And Carol.
Good to be with you all, too.
Gary posted a picture a few days ago. And it's, of course, when you hear truth at a new level, especially if you've never heard it before, the best way to receive that truth, a lot of times, is just not comment on it, not say anything about it. Of course, there's the people who can't hear that begin to talk about it from their old mindset. But what I really appreciated about what Gary had posted, it was a question that was asked of Ramana Maharishi. Do you remember posting that, Gary? You just posted it. And the question was, how should we treat others? And he gave us the shortest answer that was very shocking. He said, there are no others. Now, why is it profound?
It goes against every concept.
What speaks against that truth is separation, doesn't it? Everything that's spoken. There's a couple guys on Facebook. We're actually the dialogue's still going on. Gary started it. He posted it to my wall. And there's people in there talking about it, and they're just talking about the old belief system. And what they say isn't necessarily wrong, it's just a wrong perception. And they're telling exactly where they're at. They're saying, well, I have a wife, and they talk about Jesus, and they talk about Christ. And you know what? They're talking about things that are just in their minds. None of it's real. Who is your wife? Who is Christ? If it's not you. And the wonderful thing that can help you understand these sages and these Christs, this guy's presenting the same message as Christ when he said, love your neighbor as yourself, right? But people keep saying, well, my neighbor's real. Well, but the key to his whole passage was, it is yourself. That's the key. Love your neighbor as yourself. So when I can look at my brother, who I see in my life with my mind as Darth Vader, that's how I picture him. Come to the dark side, Michael. You know, where baloney and crap abounds. And the moment I judge him in that setting, what happens is it starts to reflect back at me. So your neighbor, the other you're looking at, is a reflection of what you truly know about yourself. So when he said there are no others, what he was talking about was this deep inner understanding that what you see in another has to be in you. There's no escaping it. If you look at another and you become prejudiced, if you look at another and you become hypocritical, or you have perceptions that aren't what you are, it's coming from you. It's not coming from them. So you experience that. So this is exactly what he was talking about. There are no others. Now, when I think about Mark, I realize he is the very essence of my being. And that's the way I need to see him. And when I see him that way, all of the other stuff just falls away. I don't see that anymore. It falls away. Why? Because I don't want to partake of it anymore. It just falls away. Isn't that wonderful? Have any of you felt that when you've been dealing with people? You can't deal with all the crap that goes on. Don't try to. You don't need to. You don't need to ignore it. You just need to see through it and realize it's not reality. Just step away from it. And that's what's so wonderful about something so simple as just when you hear something new, and Gary talks about this a lot, we want to analyze and dissect it with our minds. And I'm telling you, you're usually always arguing. You're defending, you're promoting. Well, if you hear something you've never heard before, how about just shut up and listen? I can promise every one of you, and Gary mentioned this a little bit just a little while ago, if you will get still and go by yourself somewhere and say to yourself, not some God out there, say to yourself, Father, teach me thy ways. Teach me thy ways. He will not forsake you. I promise you. You'll begin to hear from within yourself a message that's so pure and loving and kind. And that will begin to guide you. It's like a Geiger counter. I can promise you, I feel it every day. It's just like a Geiger counter that takes me around. And I begin to listen when problems come in front of my desk, when people stir up the dust and all kinds of bullshit begins to happen. It's a call to be quiet. That's what it's a call to, is to be still and let that inner voice guide you through all of this stuff. That's how you're guided. You don't have to figure it all out. Because that's what bogs us down. We try to get in there and fight and figure it all out. You don't have to do that. You don't have to fight anymore, I'm telling you. I was talking to Phyllis and her, where's your girlfriend?
She'll be right back.
Oh, I forgot. What's her first name?
Carolyn.
Carolyn Keyes?
Carolyn.
Yeah, Carolyn. We met him on Facebook. I told them last night, and I don't like to use this word a lot because I don't want us to become magicians, but the life of love is magical. It's very magical. Not that it's trying to do something, but you're always discovering the right way to go through something. I'm promising you it's so wonderful, and I appreciate that post, Gary, in the dialogue's still going on. There's still people barking down there. They think they understand what they're talking about, but they haven't come to that level to understand when he says, there are no others, what does that really mean? And that's all, so it's okay. You know, they're gonna continue to bark. That's what happens. So, we had a wonderful time last night. We're having a wonderful time this morning. And I want to share with you what I've written on my index page on my website, because I just recently changed it. And it was a revelation that came to me, and I just want to read this to you and use this as the premise for our time together this morning. And I said, the most wonderful thing that you can realize is that what you really are is beyond thought. So any thought you could have about what you might be or what you could become is an illusion. Any thought. What you really are is the divine self that is all and in all right now. As that vibrates throughout your being, you will realize there can be no God in the equation. Duality is the enemy that traps you in passing time. The God that we have always had in our mind has never been real. It is the God of this world and the father of lies. Your real father is the divine self of your eternal being. Now, when we talk about Father, there could be no God in the equation. What is the Father? What is the Father within you? It's your essence. It's the reality of what you are. It's that vibration that's eternal. It will guide you, it teaches you, it leads you beside what kind of waters? Still. If the waters are all troubled, what's it time to do? Put the shut to the up? Just shut the hell up, because that's all that can speak. When the waters are troubled, look out, hide, run for your lives. Here comes the list of 10 things to do, and the canaries are barking in the coal mines, and everybody's running for their life that isn't even real. So what happens? We worry, we fret, we fuss, and nothing is going to get you. Nothing can harm you. And so when you come into that essence, if something comes in and begins to overwhelm you, it's always a call for silence. Now, why will we not be silent? Because we're afraid, we're anxious, we think something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. I don't even know what it is, but something is going to happen. Well, it's just all a dream. How can you know and have confidence and move through each moment of your life and have a fearless spirituality by knowing that nothing can harm you? There isn't one bullet manufactured out there that can kill you. Not when you really know who you are. Nothing can harm you. Nothing can end your life. And so I think a good starting point for all of us is just realizing and recognizing the fact that there is no death. That's a big, big mountain out there that all of us still struggle with. We talk about it. We go to funerals. We read obituaries. We do all this stuff like we think it's real. Now, how can you really, really have eternal life and be immortal if you entertain any kind of thought like that? Something's a little bit off, wouldn't you say? Something has to be off in our understanding for us to participate in that type of activity and believe for a second that it's real. It's a huge mountain, but we can say to this mountain with a small little amount of faith, I am immortal. I am eternal. And what does it do? It disappears, begins to disappear. The real you, which you need to get in touch with, cannot die. It's immortal. It's everlasting. And he said, if you drink from this understanding, you will have eternal life. It's beautiful. Something is going on beyond our perceptions of this world. And when I said this world is the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because as soon as you look at it with your five senses, you begin to dialogue. You become the next great commentator on world news. Did you see this? Look what's going on here. What about this? And 10 million people tonight will be in the wake of a tornado. Well, what do you do with all this information? I'll tell you what you do. Hit the off button. Just go up and hit the off button. And just get comfortable with yourself and find that quietness. where all the trouble and all the turmoil and all the noise that's going on out in this world just disappears from your world. You don't have to partake of it. And that doesn't mean we have to judge it. I'm not sitting here saying, around, you've got to judge it, because that's part of the problem. Just withdraw from it. Jesus said, I'm going to leave the world and return to my essence, return to my Father of light and love. That's what he's talking about. When I say you are the Father, it's the very core and nature of your being. You are the divine self. All of these sages from the East, a lot of them in India, Indonesia, there's some that are in Portugal, there's actually a few in the United States, but it's surprising that there's just not very many in the Western world. And I heard some people telling me that Jesus actually made a journey to the East when he was here and taught. And yet there's been many Christs who've had the same message as Gary was sharing with us this morning. We're teaching right now what Christ taught. The kingdom is within you. It's not outside you. So if you've got any kind of communication or talk about something outside you, it's not real. You can't judge by that. So, Dean, I want to share with you some of his comments, because the outside God doesn't have a chance around Dean Dosher and me, okay? Until love is cleansed of this God, it will find no rest. Only love understands honesty has no need of a God. Love has no God. Only the desire to control does. May you come to the understanding of why you have a God. Now, how are you going to be free from this outside God? By coming to the understanding of why you have one. Why do you have one? Why do you talk about this God that's supposed to be doing something somewhere, who's failing miserably, by the way? How could there be a God viewing and watching all the activity on this earth, and for some reason he's not doing something about it? How could there be any such being? Because there isn't. That's why there isn't. Your world is a byproduct of your belief systems. Your world. Jesus said, leave your world. He didn't say leave 5 million other people's worlds. It's much easier to deal with that when you realize it's only your world that's the problem. It's not what's going on out there. Listen, if you have such a huge passion for feeding the starving people in Africa, please pick your butt up and fly over there on your Learjet and do something about it. And quit complaining. Wah, 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 wah. And then you don't even write a check. But you're trying to tell everybody else, well, there's people starving in Africa. Well, if that's such a big passion for you, go over there and quit complaining about it. It's not your world. Now, that's hard to take. But you, listen, you've got your hands full with your own. Please don't take in all the other worlds into your world and think you can manage it. You can't. You will not win. I'm telling you, you will not win. All you'll do is bitch. That's all you can do. So the love that we understand, we have to realize it doesn't have compassion for a picture that's projected on the movie screens of everybody's life. And that's hard to understand. Real love doesn't have compassion for everybody else's world. It does not. And until you begin to understand this in reality, you will not live in perfect peace. You'll be upset all the time. There'll always be the canary blaring in the background. Well, this is wrong. And did you see that? And what about this? And what about that? How will you ever escape? How can you find the Calgon beads and jump into the bathtub and say, take me away? I can tell you exactly how you're to find your peace. And that is, leave your own world. Leave your own world. Do you know why everyone's safe? Why is everyone safe? Because everyone is the essence of your reflection. Everyone. How you see the world is your perception, and it's your world. And we heard yesterday, it said, the best thing you can do for the world is find yourself. And then touch those who are with you. Love that person you're with all your heart, and realize they're yourself. That's your job. Whoever comes and walks into your presence, they're there for you. They're there to teach you and for you to demonstrate your love for them. And that's where it stops. Don't go in your imagination to a faraway land and try to fix all the problems that we're hearing, right? I'm just telling you, it doesn't work. Stay home, do what you're called to do, and just enjoy and love yourself. I remember, I know there's a lot of Catholic priests that's entered into mysticism and understand oneness. And I remember they were coming up and talking to Saint Richard. And somebody came up and asked him, he was out behind the monastery hoeing in the garden. And he said, well, what if the world was going to come to an end tomorrow? What would you do? He said, I'd keep hoeing in the garden. You're really free to enjoy yourself where you're at. Don't let all of the trouble and problems that you hear about come in and steal your joy. Okay? Really, I'm serious. Don't bring it into yourself and go away in your imaginations. Problems and suffering. Why is all the suffering going on? Why are all the problems? All problems come from desire and fear and the imagination of the mind. That's where it all originates. It's just a spinning, it's just a turmoil that can never find rest. It never wants to give up. And believe me, your mind thinks it's in control. Okay? And I'm telling you, it's not. The mind's not in control. It just thinks it is. And when you begin to bring it out and expose it and say, listen, I call him Nevins, because really, it's really the devil. The mind is really, the serpent mind of man is really the only devil there's ever been. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's the one bitching all the time. Did you see what he did? Can you believe what they're doing? What about this and what about that? And I, and me. It's a broken record. Maybe it's good to have a drink. Maybe it's good to smoke a joint. Really is. If it shuts that thing off, it's a good thing. Whatever it takes, I'm telling you. Just, if we could just have a switch, it'd be so wonderful, wouldn't it? Well, I'm telling you what the switch is. Don't believe it. It's not you. This is not the real you that's talking. Okay? It isn't. You're not a mind. You're not a body. That's really hard for us to understand because it's all we've known. All we've ever known is what we've been taught, and we project it on this thing. Now listen, there isn't very many of us in here that could get naked and look good. Okay, so I'm glad I'm not my body, because it isn't pretty. I'm thankful for that. And you, how could you be a mind? How could you be a brain, a piece of meat? You're much, much more than that. And so as you begin to understand that, the dream will end. So question, is what I'm thinking really real? Is that real? And you say, no, I don't agree with you. I talked to this guy named Nevins. I say to him, you know, shut the hell up, get behind me. This is not true. And we just have never understood that this isn't true. Because that's all we've ever known. And all we've been doing is just functioning from program, after program that's been downloaded to us. And we thought, well, this is true because someone else believes it. So begin to question those things that trouble you, those things that make you anxious. Begin to question them, because sometimes when they come, they trip us up and we believe they're real and we go, oh, I forgot to remember. I'm listening to my mind now. That's not really what I am. What I'm perceiving to be a problem is just coming from my imagination. That's the only place problems can come, friends, is a collection of thoughts that build and build and build. And oh my gosh, the sky's falling for sure. And most of the time, it never even happens. What you feel is real is only the problem you are forcing your desires into. What happens? A problem comes. And we right away say to ourselves, this is the answer to the problem. And we pursue our answer to the problem like hound dogs. And I'm going to tell you right now what I've learned and I've talked about before. Whenever a problem presents itself to you and you pick an answer, it's your answer to the problem that torments you. You've got to become neutral. You've got to find a place where no matter what happens is okay with you. Now, I went through this with Ann Harbach not too long ago, and I've shared this not too long ago, but I want to say it again because it's really where the rubber hits the road and where we struggle the most in life. She's a beautiful gal from, lives up in Minneapolis, and I met her through Martha Den Hartog in Australia. And all of a sudden I'm getting a call from her daughter, Mike, Ann's in the hospital and she's had a stroke and things don't look well. Can you call us? And so I hadn't talked to Ann in quite a while, but I knew I had her phone number somewhere. Of course, I called her phone and I was getting no answer. Well, I emailed back her daughter and I said, could you send me your phone number? Because I can't seem to get a hold of Ann. And I finally got Ann on the phone from her hospital bed. And I said to Ann, as the spirit of life and love came over me, these words came out of my mouth. I didn't know them before I said them to her. I said, Ann, as soon as you're comfortable with understanding, it doesn't matter if you stay or go, you'll be fine. And we were just overwhelmed with joy and peace. I can feel it right now. In the presence of you right now. Does it matter if I leave or not? And when she could say that was okay, she was at peace. She was no longer troubled. And they said to me, we know we're standing on holy ground. When you really understand that you can never die, you won't be afraid of death. Now, if you're still struggling with that, you've got to ask your Father, your essence, who you really are, to help you get in touch with that better. I can sit here and talk to you about this stuff till I'm blue in the face. It isn't going to make you be comfortable with it. But begin to ask yourself. That's what he means by what he says, question. Ask yourself, why am I fearful? What am I not understanding that makes me fearful of death? Because it's a huge, huge, huge question that puzzles me. Now, when I say it puzzles me, that can feel like maybe that I'm condescending, right? But the flip side of that is, if you have eternal life, does everybody in here believe they're eternal? Hello, does everybody believe they're eternal? No, not everybody? Okay, well, I guess some of you don't believe you're eternal. Do you believe you're immortal? How can you die? Then you gotta ask yourself, how could I die? It must be I don't believe I'm immortal. It must mean I haven't partaken of eternal life. Because eternal life isn't some gift that's in a box that's just handed to you, and you open it up one day when you might die, next to all your banana peels you're gonna slip on, and go, surprise. Eternal life, immortality, is what you are. It's not something that happens to you. Does that make sense? It's what you are. It's not something that happens to you. That's why when we're saying nothing can happen to you, nothing can happen to the real you. You've got to get in touch with that. Whatever that is, you have to do this out in the woods all by yourself. I can't do it for you. I can tell you how to go there. I can tell you my experience, but you have to feel this from within you, on your own. Get alone. Go get your little doobie and go find a rock. Or get your scotch and cigars, that's what I like, and go up there. What I find, and as you grow in stature and understanding of who you are, it'll become much, much more spontaneous. But the quieter it is, the more I can hear. That's all I'm saying. I have to get away from the noise. And so many times I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm taught and taught and taught and taught for hours. I've made recording after recording after recording. Do you know why? I say, this is really good shit. I better get up before I forget it. Because I know it's not coming from my mind. I know it isn't. I'm saying, well, Father, this is really good. You know, but I don't just need to speak it to you. I need to know it for myself. I need to actually experience it. And what I'm sharing with you is a live experience of these truths. But you have to experience it as well. That's when it becomes real to you. That's when it becomes you, is when you experience it. And so, it's good that we're together. It's good that there's connections going on. And what I'm going to start talking to you about now, Gary had shared a little bit on it, so this is a great segue into what we're going to talk about here for a little bit, which is so beautiful that we're connected and we didn't even get on the phone and share notes. You are not a thought. Now, do everybody remember the picture that I've been sharing for a few months about the guy on the dark side and the guy on the light side? And the dark side says that you are not what you think. And on the light, it was all lit up bright, and it said, you are... Robert, what are we?
I'm right here.
What are we? We're in corporeal.
Where?
We're in corporeal.
Oh, where?
You like saying that word. That's why I was bringing you up.
In corporeal.
Yeah. We're in corporeal. Now, the reason I use that word is because it means a lot of things. It means you're eternal. That's nice, isn't it? Now, don't you really need to know that, though, to experience it? Are we just going to say it with our mouth and then let it go? What does it mean to be eternal? What does it mean to be immortal? Now, when we watched that video yesterday of the Hubble telescope, I got all goosey, immortal, eternal thoughts in me. That's what it felt like. Did it feel like that to you? I was seeing something that had no beginning and no end. They focused that telescope on what they thought was total darkness. And the telescope studied that one little spot for 10 days, it said. And look what it discovered. 3,000 more galaxies. So far away that it appeared as darkness in front of them. And so how can you walk through life when what appears to be darkness stands in front of you? Is to stop and be still and wait upon that spirit that's within you to guide you through into all truth. I promise you it will never, ever fail you. And how can I know it never fails you? Because you're going to let go of all your preconceived notions of how you think with your little pea mind it needs to work out. You're going to let go of all that. You're not going to sit there. And Phyllis and I were talking about this last night, about Lanyon, you know. Were you going to quit listening to your little pea mind? Let you tell what's way it's going to be? As soon as you let go of all that and realize it doesn't matter what happens, you'll be free. If you're going through something that's physical right now and you're struggling, you can go through that with joy and peace when you know it's not going to take you out. It can't take you out. And if you think it can take you out, there's something wrong with your understanding. You just think you're this body, this flesh, that's all you are. You haven't got past that yet. You are an eternal, immortal spirit. That's what you are. So, you're not a collection of memories and thoughts that come from your past. Do you know, if I were to wipe your memory out, probably a lot of us today wouldn't know who we are? That's sort of sad, isn't it? Are we really a bundle of memories? Is that what we are? I think we're a lot more than that, aren't we? We're a lot more than that. We need to get in touch with that. Whatever that secret sauce is. I don't know what some people I know call your awesome sauce. Well, what is the secret sauce that we don't seem to be in touch with? Are we communicating with that? Are we communicating on that level so that we know we're not mere mortals? Are we getting in touch with our immortality so it can teach us who we are? Because that's where eternal life dwells, is in this immortal realm. And it has nothing to do with your body. And I'm all grateful you have a body so I can recognize you. But that's not who you are. It's just an expression. It's just an outward expression right now so I can find you in this world. But it's not who you are. And so, we say that we are eternal. We say we have no beginning and no end. Haven't we said that for years? Do we really understand that, though, at a level that means something to us? It's really when we say those things, it's like looking at that picture we had last night, and they're talking about how many galaxies there are. When they say there's hundreds of billions of galaxies, the mind can't comprehend 100 billion. It probably can't comprehend a billion. It might have trouble comprehending 1,000 galaxies. And what we're talking about right now is the same thing. How can you comprehend something that is eternal and has no beginning and no end? Well, I'm going to tell you a little secret now that I've discovered that helps you a little bit with this. One of the reasons we can't comprehend it is we're trying to remember with our mind. We're trying to go back into the archives of our memory and our history and pull from it to try to connect with this understanding, and it can't be done. And it's sort of like what this sage was telling us. It's a very simple answer. We try to remember with our mind, but there's nothing to remember. Now, when I say that, understanding that we are eternal is to enter into the rest of the present moment. Where there's no such thing as passing time. Enter in to the rest of the present moment. That's where you're going to find eternal life. That has no beginning and no end. It only exists in the eternal moment. It doesn't exist anywhere else. That's why you can't remember it. You don't need to remember it. Because it's only now. Does that make sense? Quit racking your brain out, trying to pull it up from your history. It's not even real. You cannot remember because it had no beginning. You don't need to remember. It never had a beginning, so there's no beginning to remember. How can you remember something that has no beginning? Are we going a little deeper now? Are you with me? How can we remember something that has no beginning? There's no beginning to remember. Hello? It's you. You are immortal right now. You don't need to remember anything about it. Just rest. Take a break. It's okay. Now, isn't that amazing? Are some of you catching what I'm saying? You can't remember something that had a past because there's no such thing as a past. No, nothing. There's no future. You have absolutely no future, I'm telling you right now. It's hard to take, isn't it? But this is part of the problem that we can't comprehend what we saw on that video yesterday, and it's part of the reason we can't comprehend eternal life. Because we're trying to take our little pea brain and force it into something that has no limits and had no beginning and had no end. That's how we're trying to process it, and you can't do that. You might not be able to understand it at all and explain it to me in words. We might not be able to sit around and talk about this and explain it to each other in a language we can understand even. But it is who you are. I don't know about you, but I feel it. I wish I could tell you more about it with words, but I'm struggling. I'm struggling with it. But I can tell you, you can't remember it. And that's a relief, actually, to realize you don't need to remember something that had no beginning, because you can't. You're as alive as you're going to get right now. You're not going to get any more of eternal life than you've got this moment right now. It can't get any better. That's why I like to keep spilling over and ruining the party of the people who believe in reincarnation and karma. Go, if you want to believe that, if you want to live 1,000 lifetimes, be my guest. No thank you, is what I'm saying. No thank you. The very possibility that it could end means that it's not real. Because nothing that is real takes time. Reality doesn't take time. Reality is only in the moment, and it requires no such thing as time. So let's just stop it today. I'm declaring over you right now that you're it, and there's nothing else. And if you want to really, really get deep in that and find out for yourself, you have to do it alone. I can't wave my magic wand over you and say, you are eternal. And I like put a brand on you or something, you know, and you have to show it, you know, to somebody. Say, see, I'm eternal. I'm not temporal. This is me. If you get in touch with this eternal essence of who you are, you will walk through this world without fear. Nothing will bring fear into your life. It might come and nip at your heels. It might throw you to the ground for a little bit and you'll go, I should have had a V8. You just forgot for a little while to remember who you are. That's okay, but guess what? While you're there, it's hell, I'm telling you. It's hell for you while you're there, because you, every one of you in here, can't be something else. You can only be what you are, and you are eternal life that never ends. So quit trying to remember. You don't have to remember past lifetimes, because there never has been any. It's it. All you got is right now. End of story. And it's never, when you enter into that, you'll realize it can't ever end. Now to me, that's wonderful news. You mean I don't have to run through airports anymore? Nope. That's a commercial. Sorry, those of you who are not getting it, but take a break. You're never going to get to the beginning of the line, because there's no line. The competition's over. Can you remember what you were before you were born? You don't need to. The understanding that time began is the death of immortal love. To believe that time began is the death of immortal love. The reason you don't need to remember is because you always have been here. And you can never leave. Right now, if you're hearing the sound of my voice, the essence and the presence and the love and the immortality and the spirituality that you have can never change. It's there, it's vibrating right now at its highest frequency. It can never change. And the only thing that needs to change is all of the cloudy memories and fuzziness that's in our little pea brain that gets in the way. That's the only thing that needs to change. Wherever you go, you can't be anywhere else. And so, when we talk about omnipresent love, and we said it's everywhere present, but in our mind we think, well, that means I've got to be in all places at all times. And that's not what it means at all. It means that wherever you're at, there you are. You can't be anywhere else, and you don't need to be. Now, doesn't that make it simple? Am I talking in riddles? Are you following me? You can only be where you're at. You don't need to be anywhere else. And so David would say, well, I found myself in a hell hole, and there I was. Huh? Well, he said, there you were. He still believed in an outside God, but it was really himself that he was talking to. When Moses was at the burning bush, it was coming from his mind and his heart was talking with him. When it said, I am that I am, it wasn't some God out there. It was his own voice. Julian Norwich said, well, when God speaks to me, I'm hearing my own voice. Well, hello, because it is you. It's not some God in the sky that's separate from you. But that's the whole point of this weekend. When you get past your understanding of duality and thinking you're separate from what I'm talking about, you'll start to wake up to who you really are and realize you can be nowhere else but then where you are right now. And you can't ever be anywhere else than that. And you don't need to be. It's okay. That's why it's so important that we don't listen to the news and we don't listen to what others say about all the activities that are going on in this world, because what does it do is it takes you somewhere else in your mind and you lose yourself in it. Is that really what you want? Do you want to lose yourself? Do you want to lose your immortality and your and the experience of your eternal life just because somebody turns on world news at 7 o'clock at night? Don't, well then just turn it off. It's okay. Nothing's going to end. It's okay. Believe me, it's all right. It's okay. There was a time when we didn't have TVs. There was a time when we didn't have Bibles. And what did people do? Oh no. There were times when people couldn't read. And what did they do? Well, they met in caves and shared each other's stories about eternal life and love because they knew who they were. They didn't need a book. Isn't that something? So, you don't need to remember who you are because you're always here and you never leave. That's the presence that you can count on. It never goes anywhere. The only place we go is when we follow our little mind off into dream worlds, off into this one and that one. We travel all over the place in these little pockets of dreams and we lose ourselves in them. And so, where could you go? Is there really a place you could go that you need to be when you're always where you're at? It's sort of funny, isn't it, to think that way? It's only the mind that wants to remember. But we are leaving a world now of taking thought. Reality is never a thought that can come to you. Now, how can I make such a broad statement like that? Reality is never a thought that can come to you, because reality is you. It's not a specific thought. When we hear Jesus said, he said, take no thought for your life, and we're scared to death when we hear that. And so we go around trying to do things to turn our brain off, because we think that's what he meant. And that's not what he meant. He didn't say stop your brain. Did he say stop your brain? No. He said take no thought for your life. What he was saying is, you've got the wrong definition of life. Because what he said right after that was what? Look at the lilies. Why are they, do you see them toiling? Do you see them struggling for life? See, we get so hung up in the thought of what he said about taking no thought, we can't get past the terminology. Your definition of life is wrong. That's what he's saying. He's not saying find a switch and turn your brain off. He's saying your thoughts about life are wrong. That's what he's saying. So we've got a wrong definition of life. So here you say to yourself, Father, teach me what life is. I want to understand. I want to have this feeling and essence of something that never ends, of something that's eternal. I want to know what that is. And believe me, it will overtake you. I feel it. I'm sharing it with you right now. So then what happens is we begin to take thought, and then desires form around our thoughts from unfulfilled memories from the past, longing for change that is projected out into a future. And it's quite a quagmire. How do we escape? Many times something comes into our life that shocks us. Well, when something really traumatic comes into your life, what's the first thing that happens? Does anybody know? Can anybody tell me? Something very, very traumatic. It wipes your memory out. All you can focus on is that very, very close thing that's at hand. Everything you've thought about up until then disappears. And all you can think about is the emergency that's in front of you. It actually can be very cleansing, to be honest with you. There are times it's been very cleansing for me to go through something traumatic and realize it's really the thing I found that was the benefit to me is it purged my mind of all of the bullshit that was going on. Because, man, there was a lot of it, I'm telling you. There was this thing and this thing and that thing and this thing. It was all swirling and storming, and bam, I hit the ground. And I got up, and my memory was clear. Now it hurt, you know. I mean, I had quite a bruise when I hit my hip on the ground and my head on the pavement. And I got up and said, boy, I needed that. It shook off all the crap that was going on, okay? And here, I thought I was going to die. You know, my head could have hit a rock a certain way, and I could have given up the ghost, blah. And I got up and I go, wow. That feels really good. Now, I'm not saying go around and hit your head on the pavement, you know, but I'm just, do you get, understand what I'm saying? We'll go through some of these things in our life. I'm sure Rex has experienced it. He's was riding on his motorcycle, standing on his head, and had a heart attack. Ended up at the hospital. I'm sure he forgot everything, didn't you, Rex?
I did.
And it was pretty good, wasn't it? A nice purging of the memory. Well, how can we learn to do that and purge this memory we have every day of all the stuff that trails you around like these dirty rags of memories and stuff that you take around with you. And you take them from day to day and they build and build and build, and you begin to lose your eternal life then. See, this is what's damaging you, is you're living by your memory and your fears, and it just smothers out who you are. It doesn't change who you are. You're still you. You haven't went anywhere. So you're safe, right? Right? Everybody's safe. You're okay. Nothing has changed, but what? Your memory? Well, you're not a bundle of memories. So maybe everybody should get a little electric prodder or something, you know, and we can just, you know, wake up every morning and give ourselves a jolt, say, oh, great. Just to remind ourselves of who you are. And when people come to us and threaten us and accuse us and do all these things that seems to knock us off balance, we now have got some resistance to that, and we've got some stability that can handle those things. And what do we say? We don't attack the person. We just say in our mind, I know this isn't real, and we just love them anyway. And we just say, okay, it's, you know, that's okay. But internally, we know who we are. We're rested in that, and we're comfortable in it. And that's how you walk through this world. That's how we can be in the world, but not of the world. We can be in the world and all this stuff that can go on every night that's on world news. And it's not part of our world. And so we have no fear for it. We're not worried about it. And we really have to come to the conclusion that we leave the cares of this world, because the cares of the world choke out reality. And that you can't live there. There's no place there to live. So, when you find this self, when you find yourself, capital Y, yourself, you find immortality. Now, if you don't really know what immortality is, if it's just a word to you, you've got more finding to do, don't you? It's got to be more than a word, doesn't it? It has to be a feeling that takes you over so that you're no longer afraid of any kind of concept of death whatsoever. There's no fear there. And you don't have to prove it to anyone. Don't try to say, well, I'm immortal, and I'm eternal, and I can never die. You're not going to win that argument with anyone. And it's sort of bragging anyways. Just keep it to yourself and realize in this quietness, in this stillness where it says you begin to know yourself, that you are immortality that can never end. You are eternal life that can never end. That's what you are. You don't have to prove it, and you don't have to make, it doesn't have to make sense to you on this level. It's got to come to you as a knowing from your heart and up through your being that changes. And when you know you're believing it and you're changing it, what's the process? What's the outcome of that? There's no more fear. Fear starts to go away for these things. And it's not like you're reckless. You're not going to go bungee jumping, you know, without a bungee cord. You're not going to parachute without a parachute. You know, that's just silly. That's what people say that don't understand what we're talking about. But if you want to go parachuting, go parachuting. It ain't going to take you out. Are you afraid of anything in this world? Wouldn't you just love to live every day without any fear for anything? And be set and know who you are and not let anyone steal your joy. Now, when someone comes and they try to steal our joy, we want to argue with them, but that's going to steal your joy. So we can't argue about truth with people. I had this guy come, and I'm sharing these things and he doesn't understand it. He just doesn't understand it. And he starts arguing away, and I said to him, I said, listen, I said, I'm not gonna argue truth with you. Well, when the more I say I'm not gonna argue truth with him, the more he wants to argue. And I said, I'm sorry, but I just don't argue truth with anyone. And I just had to go in and cut him off. I had to go in and unfriend him because he wouldn't shut up. Now, that doesn't sound loving, does it? But see, what am I doing? Is I'm protecting my world from all the outside noise. And until you're more comfortable, until you can handle all of that kind of activity, you need to shut it off. It's okay to unfriend somebody if they're continuously interfering with your immortality and eternal life. Just shut them off. It's okay. It's okay to turn off the world news. It doesn't mean you're not compassionate. You just become like an old hippie and love the one you're with. That's all we're saying. Just focus on the person you're with. I would love to be able to enjoy, my wife is just such a lovely thing. She always has been. And she gets so, you know what? She gets so excited. I mean, I was reading a book on my Kindle, and we have a nice fireplace. You've all seen me sitting in front of the fireplace, right? Well, it's two-sided, it's see-through. And I'm reading my Kindle, and I said, well, I'm gonna go upstairs. And she says, oh no, would you stay down here with me? Well, all she wanted me to do was sit there in front of the fireplace and read my Kindle while she's in the kitchen. That's all she wanted. Well, that's pretty easy, isn't it? Huh? So I just stayed there and read my Kindle, and somehow she just liked that. Right, she liked that. And so that's what love is. Just be in the moment with who you are. We don't have to bring in what the neighbor's doing or what the cousin's doing or what's happening at work or all this other stuff. Don't bring it home with you. Come home and be with who you are and love them and cherish them and nurture them and realize that's your universe. That's where your universe begins, is right where you are and who you're with. And you have no business letting that be destroyed because you're taking on too much. We're trying with our minds, we're in overload all the time. That's what happens, it just builds and builds and builds and builds, and we can't enjoy the day, we can't enjoy the moment. And guess what, your immortality and eternality can only be experienced in the moment. Amen. And so what happens is you lose your sense of immortality. When you leave the moment, are you hearing me? When you leave the moment, you lose your sense of immortality and fearless spirituality. You lose it. You wander off in your mind into a faraway land and you got to go out and pick up your sword. Bless God, I'm going to fight for this cause. And I'm going to take on this cause. And I'm going to expunge all of this. And I'm going to eliminate all of that. Well, if you've got that much, you know, power, good luck. I'm not going with you. You're on your own. So, make it simple. All of these guys will tell you, Maharaja says all the time, when people would come to him, his disciples, he would say to them, simplify your life and make it as least complicated as you can. Make it simple. Keep it simple. Simplify. The less complex your life is, the more in touch with yourself you will be. That's right. Just bring it home. I know when I was a young man, I was just into all this stuff, and we've started to downsize. And just, we were renting this cottage we had out at the lake. And this last renter we got was just the renter from hell. And I looked at her and I said, you know, we just need to quit doing this. Yay. We just need to sell the house. Yay. Just sell it and quit renting it. And so we're not saving the world by renting our house out 30% of the year and going in the hole. Because we're not making money. It's not a profitable venture. Okay, so we're just not going to do it anymore. And guess what? It's all gone. By doing those things, and I'm not trying to give you a handbook or give you a list of rules to follow, but as you simplify and reduce the noise that's surrounding you, you'll get in touch with the real you, okay? This person. And once you get connected there, I'm telling you, there's no escape, because you won't forget it. You'll never forget it. And your lapse in memory won't be very long. The little bungee cord or the little rubber band that's hooked to this immortality and eternal life will only stretch so far, and it'll be like reeling in a fishing reel. It'll keep getting tighter and tighter and tighter till all of a sudden, poof, you disappear. Now, do I mean you're going to not be seen anymore? What I mean is this personality that has found all these, this trouble will be gone. And it will not connect to it anymore. It will know. It'll be so sensitive to those connections that as soon as it comes around, it'll be like electric fence that you can feel through your skin. And you say, oh, no, I'm not going there. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to listen to you. I know who I am, and I'm protecting that essence that is immortal and eternal, and it can't be touched. It can't be afraid. Now, aren't I describing the kingdom of heaven to you? Isn't that what it is? Is a place with no fear and peace and joy that never end? That's what it is. It's not some place that you're going to go to. It's right here, it's right now, and it's who you are. That's how you get in touch with it. So I want to close by reading a poem that was sent to me from a lovely gal that I've met over Facebook. Her name is Dana Consenza. And she wrote this beautiful poem. And it said, "The sacrifice must die, bloodshed on the cross, to make me holy, otherwise I'll be tossed into the abyss, burning with brimstone and fire. I must have love for this God, submit to and admire. This is what I've grown up with. It's what I've been taught. My life is not my own. It was purchased and bought by a God who required cleansing by blood, the same who killed millions in a massive great flood. But it didn't add up. How can that really be love? Demanding the death of a man sent from above. So I threw up the lies and all that I had digested. I cleansed my palate, closed my eyes, and just rested. It soon became clear on why he appeared. The miraculous oneness, separation disappeared. There was no God demanding my change. There was not needed a great exchange. Nothing was changed on Calvary. It was a revelation of a true me. The flesh died and the Christ was risen. The truth was released from the cell of my prison." Isn't that beautiful? Thank you so much, guys.